This is the Apple Store at the corner of Prince and Green Streets in Soho in New York City. Big glass windows, blonde wood tables, clean lines, all showcasing the indispensable accoutrements of modern life. But if you walk outside the front door of this Apple Store
and you look at the building, it becomes instantly clear that this was not purpose-built as an Apple Store. This is an old building, and right at the top it says United States Post Office. Now, a few weeks ago, an NYU economics professor, Bill Easterly, wrote about this single block, the history of this single block in Soho, and Bill Easterly is here with me outside the Apple Store. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
So let's take a look at this building, Bill. There's a brick facade. Clearly not a brand new building. Describe this building for us.
Well, it's one of the ugliest buildings in Soho. It's a standard issue government building.
When was it built?
It was built in the early 20th century, in the middle of what was then a pretty decrepit neighborhood. But part of the story of this block is how it became a very non-decrepit neighborhood. And the whole peak of the evolution of the block is the arrival of the Apple Store, the peak of civilization.
Bill Easterly's only half joking. He spent about a year looking at how this block became one of the most expensive pieces of real estate on Earth. Now, it's hard to believe that not too long ago, long before the beautiful people with oversized sunglasses pushed $1,000 baby strollers down these sidewalks, a small group of Delaware Indians called this place home. Soho was a swamp in the middle of a forest on Manhattan Island. And then
Henry Hudson arrives in 1608, discovers the magnificent harbor. The Dutch set up a settlement, but they set it up at the tip of the island, which is what was best for the harbor. And so this was still wilderness. Gradually, they started handing it out as fairly low-value farmland to sort of their protégés.
Where today you find Paul Smith and B&B Italia, you might have seen grazing sheep. The Hugo Boss showroom on Green Street, that would have been the top of a hilly meadow overlooking Lower Manhattan. And this is basically what Soho looked like until 1822. Bill Easterly walks about three-quarters of a block north on Green Street. It's lined with industrial-age cast-iron buildings that house some of the best-known art galleries in the world. But sandwiched right between two of them, a crumbling old brick home.
This is a beautiful Federal-style townhouse that was built in 1824 by a rich merchant named Anthony Arnoux. And he moved here when a lot of other rich people were moving here at the same time.
They were moving to this area?
Yes.
Why were they moving here?
In the summer of 1822, there was a yellow fever epidemic in the city, which is, way down there in the distance. We can see the skyscrapers.
Lower
in the
Manhattan.
Distance. Lower Manhattan. And this was still empty land. But the rich were desperate to get away from the yellow fever epidemic. The conventional wisdom was move to high ground. And this was a hill.
Right.
And it's no longer there, but this was a hill. And he was part of this exodus.
How long did the Arnoux family live here?
They lived here until 1860. By that time, the neighborhood was deteriorating, and the rich people had moved on to the north.
And what happened to the house?
It became a whorehouse.
So in a period of 50 years, the block went from red farmhouses to red light district.
This one block was the single most intense concentration of brothels in the entire city. There were 23 brothels on this one block.
You imagine, had they had the foresight to invest in real estate...
The prostitutes would have made a killing. Really.
After the end of the Civil War, industrialists decided this block was perfect for manufacturing. A rail depot sat just a few hundred yards away, and so they tore down all those nice townhouses turned brothels and built these warehouses and factories. And Bill Easterly takes me to one of them.
This is a cast iron factory that was built about 1880. So if you look on the side of the building here, you still see the advertisement for the factory that was here. It was Hartz, printers and rollers,
wow.
Inkers.
Yeah.
These were being manufactured in this gorgeous building, which is now art galleries and $3 million
lofts.
The $3 million loft era wouldn't begin for another 100 years or so. The block was still a factory district well into World War II. But right after, the owners started moving their operations into the suburbs. So
there are all these tall buildings left behind with not much use for them. The urban planner Robert Moses wanted to put an 8-lane highway just a block and a half from where we're standing. And you can imagine that would have completely destroyed Soho. So this would not be here if he had gotten his way.
So, Bill, it is hard to imagine, but at a certain point in around the mid-60s, this was not a desirable place to live. These lofts are selling for $2, $3 million now, but people did not want to live here. It wasn't safe. These were boarded-up buildings, basically.
Yes, yes. These were decrepit buildings covered with graffiti. But in 1960, in this building that we're standing in front of, there's an artist named Joyce Silver who moves here illegally, and the other artist started living here. This is not zoned as a residential district at the time. It's illegal to live here. They don't even have water and electricity.
They just break into these buildings and start living here. How do they stay here?
If an inspector would come by, they would say it's a studio. It was legal for it to be an artist's studio. They just couldn't live here. There's a story that one artist, when the police arrived at the door for an inspection check, he realized that it was going to be very obvious it was a residence, and he told the police, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't come in right now. I'm painting a nude model."
And Bill Easterly says the gathering of those artists led naturally to art galleries.
And then other designer stores start moving in next to the art galleries. We have, you know, Yves Saint Laurent down the block here. Mont Blanc.
Oh, yes, I only shop there.
Yeah. And then the celebrities and the rich people start moving in. And so, you know, all of a sudden, this has once again become a super rich neighborhood.
Complete circle, right?
It's, you know, that's what's remarkable about this neighborhood is it keeps going down, then it recovers and goes up. You know, that's sort of like the whole process of economic development as a whole, that it's always, you know, totally unexpected, that there are setbacks, but then you overcome and you reach a culminating point like you have an Apple store.
That's Bill Easterly. He's a professor of economics at New York University, and he joined me here on the Green Street block in Soho in New York City between Prince and Houston. Bill Easterly, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And you can find an interactive map of our tour at npr.org.